when it comes to electric vehicles and the environmental benefits, are they really as good as they're being marketed?
Look, I think a lot depends on the way you look at it. So electric vehicles, zero emissions from the tailpipe. So when cars driving around the city, you don't get the particulates coming out, you don't get the noise, so there's definite benefits there. Now, when you're talking about the electricity supply, people have made the argument that Australia's electricity supply is very dirty, so why bother? That's a short-term argument. In fact, electric cars right now are better for the environment, even if you're using our dirty electricity. But in the longer term, as you deploy more electricity supply, that'll be all renewables because it's cheaper to put in than coal-fired power stations. Sorry, that's a difficult one to get out. But anyway, look, as time goes on and we get more renewables, it'll be much better. So it's a win-win. But the minute you buy a petrol car, the emissions stay the same for the whole life of the car. It can't improve as time goes on. And if you happen to have solar panels on your roof, even better.
I understand another one of the arguments that many detractors of electrical cars make is the fact that the mining process to find the right material for the batteries that are involved in some of these vehicles, that also dirties up the environment as well more. The detractors would have you believe more so than the manufacturer of a petrol-consuming car.
Look, it's true when you're only talking about raw materials, and don't forget Australia is the biggest supplier of lithium, so we're not talking about modern slavery in Australia or anything like that, so that aspect of it, well, lithium isn't there. What they're worrying about is, yes, when the mining process takes place, but the thing is, you can recycle lithium, you know, many times, so, you know, in the longer term, you know, you'd make these batteries the first time, sure, but then they can be recycled, so as a long-term prospect, it's nowhere near as bad as people make out. Like, they're just taking they're cherry picking the data and they're making out worst case scenarios.
What about what about the most recent arguments on efficiency of electrical vehicles? I mean, we're hearing a lot of sort of dissenting news that these things don't have enough grunt, they don't recharge fast enough. This is some things the government would have us claim. What do you make of these efficiency arguments?
Look, that's just because people aren't familiar with them. They don't understand, you know, they've probably only ever sat in one once. Maybe these politicians might be lucky to have been on a test drive. But once you actually own one, you realise they're nowhere near as bad as people make out. So, you know, and of course, you know, you buy a car to suit your needs. So if you just want a little town run around, you're going to buy a Leaf. But if you want to buy something that's going to pull a caravan, then you're going to buy a Tesla X, so they've got the grunt, as you say. Look, they do make electric use, so it's not as if tradies can't have an electric car. And the distance they travel, the range, is increasing all the time because manufacturers are able to source better quality batteries that have a bigger range just because they store more energy and so the car can go further. But just in terms of the actual cars, now we have to remember that you put a litre of petrol in a petrol car and only about 17 to 20% of the energy that comes out of that litre of petrol is used to push the car forward. The rest of it is wasted as heat and noise, and so that it actually warms up urban areas. But when you've got an electric car, the energy that you put into the battery, 60% of that is used to push the car forward, so you're not wasting nearly as much energy. So it's a much more efficient process. And what, you know, when you just mentioned about the environmental arguments, they might say, oh, but lithium's such an issue, or cobalt, you know, cobalt's such a problem because it's coming from the Congo or wherever it's coming from. Australia also has cobalt, and manufacturers are starting to say, well, they're going to source it from there so they don't have those issues of, as I said to you before, about modern slavery. But the thing is, they are recyclable, and people forget about the fact that you have to get petrol as constant thing. So you're getting that out of the environment all the time, and people forget that petrol has a big detriment to the environment. You only have to see some of those oil spills that have taken place in various countries when you get oil going on the beaches and killing all the wildlife, that you can see what a detriment that has. So, you know, people like to cherry pick arguments, but they forget to tell you about the downsides of using petrol cars too.
Well, in terms of the cherry picking argument, a moment ago you mentioned, of course, the likely switch we will see away from coal-powered power stations to renewable energies. Now, even if you couldn't give a good goddamn about the environment, there is an argument to say, well, the simple fact is coal isn't going to remain economically viable into the far-flung future. It seems like we're getting over a hump with these kinds of things, with electrical cars, with renewable energies at the moment. In terms of economic benefits, are we also getting over a hump with electric cars? They're quite costly right now. It might be costly to make sure they're charged up and the like, but in the long term, is there economic benefits?
Oh, of course. Look, if you buy an electric car today, even though it might cost you more up front, and you have to remember that an electric car is an expensive purchase, but over the period of time that you're going to own it, because the electricity that you put in is vastly cheaper than having to buy petrol all the time, it can cost you only about a dollar to go 10 kilometres, 50 kilometres. So a dollar for 50 kilometres is pretty cheap going. And so over the life of your car, you're not keeping on adding all that extra petrol to your weekly budget, and the cost of electricity is vastly less. So your total cost of ownership right now, even with the expensive purchase price, is better than buying a petrol car. But that's for people in the new car market. So I can understand people who are looking, you know, they're only ever in the market for a second-hand car, and, you know, about half of Australians never buy a new car, they just buy second-hand. So until government starts to, you know, procure electric vehicles for their fleets, and because they would turn them over fairly rapidly every 3 to 5 years, until you get that second-hand market, it's going to be more difficult for people in the second-hand market to be able to get into electric vehicles and make their day-to-day life cheaper.
That's an intriguing insight. Gail, we might leave it there, but thank you very much. Do appreciate your time.
That's fine. Thanks, Sean. Bye-bye.
That was Gail Broadbent talking to us about the rise of electric cars and what the impacts, the arguments around environment, economy and the like. Some of the arguments, replying, I suppose you might say, to those ones. In terms of our politicians just having a little bit of a run around an electric car, maybe not getting the full experience, perhaps Prime Minister Scott Morrison just had a little bit of a run around in his Treasurer Josh Frydenberg's electric car. He does own one. Maybe just had a little bit of run around and got some poor information off of that one test drive. Who knows?